Hi, this is David. I've started a few small businesses over the years, including this podcast, and the situation is always the same. Every day another urgent task pops up and your to-do list is never-ending. Shopify wasn't around when I got started as an entrepreneur, but I wish it had been, because it would have made my life a whole lot easier. How so? Well, with Shopify, you have instant access to hundreds of templates that make building an online store easy. Not just a beautiful storefront, but one that converts visitors into paying customers. Shopify is also packed with helpful AI tools that write product descriptions, page headlines, and even improve your product photography. It's like you have a full marketing team behind you, not to mention tools for managing inventory, international shipping, processing returns, and a whole lot more. If you're ready to sell, you're ready for Shopify. Turn your big business idea into with Shopify on your side. Sign up for your $1 per month trial and start selling today at shopify.com/inspirational. Go to shopify.com/inspirational. shopify.com/inspirational. Welcome to the Inspirational Living Podcast. Today's reading was edited and adapted from Where Dwells the Soul Serene by Stanton Davis Kirkham, published in 1900. There is ever in the human mind a longing and a desire to transcend the limits of the known, to break boundaries. It is this desire that has led explorers to great new discoveries of uncharted lands and places. But it is in the realm of ideas that it leads us furthest and reveals the grandest continents, carries us to the more sublime elevations, and lays before us the more majestic panoramas. For it is in the sphere of ideas alone that we may be said to pass all boundaries and be free of limitations. It travels not by the chart, but would go where there are no charts. It goes not by the beaten road, but follows rivers and mountain chains and the shores of continents, like migrating swans. For to follow a traveled road is to see what has already been seen by all women and men. But to make your own road, under the guidance of the inner light, is to see and report what no other has seen. Ah, what a sunny land awaits to be revealed when we turn our steps within. There too must we cross burning deserts, and ascend the rugged cliffs, scale precipices, and take our way over ridges and among crevices, to finally reach the sunny vale, smiling and verdant always, where sparkle limpid streams, where bloom the rose and jasmine, where sing the whistling thrush, to explore the unknown regions of the mind, to seek that shining land where dwells the soul, serene. Here is a work worthy of the true explorer's medal. Let us explore this world of thought. Let us blaze a path and wear a trail up over the mountains. Let us recount our escape from the wilderness and leave a record of our journey from bondage to freedom. It is the royal privilege of every person to so live, that their life and example shall be an inspiration, to so walk erect and free, that others shall be obliged to inquire as to the means of our freedom. when we have tried the various ways of life in the crucible of experience, there is left the precious residue of unselfishness, which slowly forms into a shining sphere that will be the talisman of our freedom. When we act with a selfish motive, we descend to a certain lower plane of existence and are instantly beset by all the conditions of that plane. We have opened our mind to the path of all that is related to selfishness and to the thought of whoever is so inclined. We have unsuspectingly become allied to the rabble, and whether we wish to or not, must march with the crowd. We have fallen through the floor of our heaven, and the heavenly sojourn is now but a memory. Egotism grows on a person, must be carried about like an albatross, and weighs heavy upon the shoulders. Difficult it is to cross certain streams, but if we must support likewise the burden of our egotism, it becomes well nigh impossible. On the other hand, in our unselfish deeds, we act divinely, and every person's altruism comes forth to welcome us. It is a profound truth that in our thoughts, we join hands with all who are of the same trend of mind, and become one of a brotherhood and sisterhood of like thinkers. When we have resolved to be free, we are welcomed by the community of the free and made aware of their sympathy. New friends bring us nuggets of truth, and it would appear that they have awaited our coming, gift in hand. We are surprised that at the right moment certain people appeared who set us thinking or indicated for us the right trail. But we shall yet discover laws to account for all that we now dismiss as coincidence. There is a slavery to the dollar and a slavery to the clock, and so flooded is the mind with the mania of possession that houses, bric-a-brac, clothes, jewels fill the horizon, and things usurp the place of substance. But things are merely the foci of our desires and aversions, and have but that value with which we endow them. An astute person knows their superiority to all externals, uses them or tosses them aside. But little minds begin at once to revolve about the thing itself, and Tweedledum and Tweedledee must quarrel over some new rattle. It is well that we have a good business, so many dollars, a nice house, but what if the business has us? What if the dollars have us? What can anyone be said to possess who does not possess themselves? The difference between comfort and luxury, home and house, may be just the price of freedom. There is no elegance comparable with the refinement of simplicity. The soul suffices to whomsoever perceives it, and this perception surrounds us with elegance, and admits to us the true inmost circle of society, the matriarchs and patriarchs of true perception. In the difference between love and fear, trust and worry, work and toil, we again pay the price of freedom. It is the dead weight of worry, plus the straw which breaks a person's back. Worry never dug a well, nor shingled a house, never built a bridge, nor ran a bank. People seem substantial and important if they are sufficiently burdened with cares. But one who is truly wise is reliable in proportion to the work and good that is accomplished without care. For worry is a leak, a dissipation. It is a mortgage on power that takes all our spare energy to pay the interest and keeps us with nose to the grindstone. The mind can entertain but one wise and happy notion about the body, and that is the consciousness of that perfection which is health. It is we alone who elect what office the senses shall fill. We bid the eye behold virtue, and it does so. Vice, and it sees vice. Not to dwell upon the stomach, nor the other bodily organs, but to be conscious only of bodily perfection, this is health, and this is also a measure of freedom. A sound body implies a mind that is free from fear and anger, from all negation and weakness, plain living and high thinking. Let this be our motto. It is a good sign when conversation avoids bodily ills and complaints. There are people whose minds are infected and who carry with them a certain mental and moral contagion, whose thoughts pollute the mental atmosphere, and whose conversation breeds disease. Deliver us from those poison minds, ever on the alert for symptoms, and anxious to proclaim their ailments. It is a false sympathy that would commiserate with our aches and pains. A wise regard ignores externals and addresses itself to the real person, dwelling composed and tranquil beyond all appearances. We owe it to the genius of health that we should look for its manifestation in every countenance. And if we fail to see therein a good color or an exuberant vitality, we may nevertheless find a clear eye or a calm expression. And it would be wise and kind to comment on that rather than on any apparent lack. In your well wishes for others, wish them peace, and let your concern be for their sanity and serenity, rather than for their rheumatism. What is it to be free, but freedom from our false impressions? To be fearless is to be godlike. It requires an ordinary and savage courage to face a cannon, but it takes a refined and gracious courage to face our impressions and dispel them. Our delusions, these are our enemies. Our idle thoughts, these are insidious foes. To live true to the soul requires the finer courage. We go into battle with colors flying and drums beating. We meet our delusions in silence, hearing no plaudits, spurred by no music. To come forth superior to all delusions, so that the fear of death, of disease, and poverty shall be swallowed in the victory of love, this is indeed to be a victor and wear the laurel. But to fear work or idleness, ridicule or praise, opinion or indifference, society or solitude, is to be a slave to one or all of these. If you have reached the stage of nonconformity, not to one institution in particular, but to all things external to you, to all but the divine pattern within you, so may you hope to be transformed. If you have come to esteem free thought as the birthright and heritage of humanity, so may you confidently hope to be free. for the thought precedes the state. Freedom in thought comes before freedom in action and life. The Spirit bids us cast off the shackles of tradition and forego our musty creeds. We must have the living word. The truth shall make us free. Nurture your free thought. Cherish it. It shall be a jewel in your crown. Free thought or slavish thought, which will you entertain? Once resolved to think for ourselves, and we shall become women and men. Let others think for us, and we remain puppets. Freedom is not a name in the sky. It is a condition to be actualized within. We shall not be free until we know ourselves. The true life is distinct from the senses. And when we awake from our dream, we shall stand forth in the majesty of the soul. There is within you a higher self, which partakes of divinity and transcends the illusions of sense. To seek this self and become one with it is the dictate of wisdom and the path of freedom. Self-union through spiritual enfoldment. This is the esoteric teaching of all great religions, a teaching that in all ages has influenced the few and eluded the many. We may trace it from the Upanishads to the Vedanta, read it in the Bhagavad Gita and in the Psalms of David. It is through concentration and meditation upon the sublime principles of being, which gives rise to wisdom and truth. It is through contemplation of the ineffable relationship between the human and the divine that the individual is merged and liberated in the universal. It is in that profound silence that the eternal identity is perceived, whereby the bolts are drawn, the portals opened, and we go forth unshackled, free.